Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 to 6. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Let's pray for Handy. Dear God, we say thank you. Thank you for your servants. Thank you, O God, even for the grace to do what you've called him to do. Thank you for the passion in his heart, even to carry on, despite the challenges. We say may your name be praised over his life in Jesus' name. And dear God, we ask, even as he preaches your word to us, that you give him utterances and you make his tongue like the pen of a ready writer. And we ask, Holy Spirit, that you open our hearts to learn and to understand and to do your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so, so much. It's so good to be back with you here at Holland Road Baptist Church. What a brilliant time of worship we've just had, worshiping the King of Kings. We watched the King being coronated last week. But what a privilege to worship the King of Kings together this morning. And as we were singing that song that talked about the reckless love of God, I just felt my heart broken again inside as we were singing that. And just, I wasn't planning to say any of this, by the way, but just God really impressed on me. During Easter this year, which we've recently celebrated, one of the things that I always love reading the Easter story again and just remembering all that Jesus did for us, really his reckless love. And as I read it through this time in Matthew, and I was reading the bit where it talks about when Jesus was before Pontius Pilate, and Barabbas is called out, and he asks the crowds, you know, who do you want me to release to you? Because each year he was going to release someone, and I was just putting myself in Barabbas's position for a moment. And I was just thinking about it and thinking, you know what, Barabbas, that morning, I mean, in Matthew it talks about Barabbas being a notorious criminal. In another gospel it talks about him being a thief. And in another gospel it talks about him being a murderer. He was not a nice guy. He was not the kind of person you'd want living next door to you or living on your street. He was well known for being a criminal and causing trouble and causing pain and hurt. And I think Pontius Pilate, when he addressed the crowd, said, who do you want me to release, Barabbas or Jesus? I think he's noticed that actually Jesus had really done nothing wrong. He might have thought he was a bit crazy, but he was bringing out Barabbas thinking, well, I know who they're going to choose here. They're not going to want Barabbas back. And Barabbas that day, he was probably... it doesn't really tell us in the passage, but I would imagine he was going to face the death penalty himself for all the crimes he'd committed. And that day, as the prison guards come to his prison and unlock the prison and say, Barabbas, come on out, I would imagine Barabbas would be thinking, my time's up. This is it. This is the day that I'm going to face my death sentence. And as he walks to meet Pontius Pilate and Jesus and stands on that platform and stands shoulder to shoulder with Jesus, an innocent man, and Pilate says, who do you want me to release to you? And the crowds shout out, Barabbas. Can you imagine the feeling that must have gone on in him as he was then, probably to the shock and horror and surprise of Pilate, then released this criminal? And actually Jesus took his place. There were three crosses that day, and I'm sure one of those was probably for Barabbas. And Jesus literally takes his place. As I was reflecting on the story, I was just thinking, who is Barabbas? I'm Barabbas. I'm Barabbas. I'm the one who's turned my back on God so many times. I'm the one who's chosen to go my own way. I'm the one who's guilty. And yet Jesus takes my place. He takes your place. What reckless love is that? And as we were singing that song this morning, I just felt God wanted to say to maybe one or two of you, maybe you're here in the church building or watching online, and you might be feeling right now that there's no way God can forgive me for what I've done. And I just want to encourage you this morning and say to you, God loves you so recklessly that no matter whatever you've done, He is willing to take your place and to forgive you and cleanse you from that sin if you're willing to turn to Him. And I don't know who that's for, but I want to leave that with you. And if you'd love, if you'd like someone to pray with you after this service, then I'd be willing to do that. I'm sure there's others here who would love to. Or if you're online, maybe you can call the office or something, and we'd love to have that opportunity, that privilege, to pray with you, to see you discover the incredible, reckless love of God for yourselves afresh. So it's a real privilege and honor to be with you. And how many people have read this book, God's Smuggler? Quite a few of you. Well, Brother Andrew went to glory, went to be with Jesus end of last year, and we have been just celebrating his life and celebrating all that God has done through him, as well as missing him a lot. But we just want to get his story out there again, just because it's such an encouraging, faith-building and inspiring story. And so if you've not read it or you want to read it again, by the way, Brother Andrew wrote another chapter a couple of years before he died, which is in this copy. And if you'd like one, we'd love to, as a thank you to you here at Holland Road Baptist Church for your ongoing prayer and support for the persecuted church. We'd just love to give you a copy of this. Unfortunately, I don't have loads of copies with me. I was at a conference last week and they've all gone. But if you, there is a little card, a postcard on the, just by the where the coffee's going to be served later. And if you'd like one, then just put your name and address on there and just tick the box to say you're not signing up for anything else. You're just saying, please, can you send me my free copy of God's Smuggler, and we'd love to send that to you. If you want to sign up to receive any other prayer news and that kind of things to keep you up to date regularly what's going on around the world with the persecuted church, you can also do that on there if you choose to. Open Doors, we produce the World Watch List every year, which goes through the top 50 countries. I know most of you are aware of that and use this resource to help you pray for those countries. North Korea has been number one on that list for the last 50 years. And the last 20 years. And we've been praying regularly for our brothers and sisters in North Korea. I'd love to share a bit more about that tonight when we meet to pray. By the way, tonight we're going to make that a bit more interactive, and we're going to have a little prayer floor map on the floor and more candles, and we won't have more earth to dig up. But I love that this morning. That was just such a great prayer. And so many of our brothers and sisters, that is the way they read the Bible. They'll get a blanket over their heads, they'll go and dig it up, and with a torch at night when no one's around, they'll read it and then bury it again, because they're desperate for God's words. And friends, how many Bibles do we have available to us? And how much are we desperate for God's word? There's so much we can learn from our brothers and sisters. We produce the World Watch List. We've got a few of those here if you'd like to take one. Also, we've got one for families. It's a map that you can put up on your wall. And as a family, pray together for the persecuted church. There's this little passport, which obviously you can't travel with this passport, but you can travel around the map, and it will take you to the different countries, and you find the country and you colour it in and you pray for that country in a child-friendly way. And so if that's something that you would like to do as a family together, then please do take those. They're freely available to you. We're just going to watch a short video which is going to take us through just the top 10 countries on the World Watch List. Let's watch that video now.
Afghanistan. Following the Taliban takeover, those Christians who have not fled the country have been forced deep underground. If discovered, they face death. Iran is at number 8. Iranian house churches are seen as a threat by the Islamist regime. Church members who are caught are given long prison sentences. Number 7, Pakistan. Pakistan's infamous blasphemy laws are often used to target believers. Christian women and girls are vulnerable to kidnap and forced marriage. Nigeria is at number 6. More Christians are killed in Nigeria than in all the other countries of the world combined. And the violence is getting worse. Number 5, Libya. In this lawless land, both native and migrant Christians are targeted, kidnapped, and even killed. At number 4 is Eritrea. Christians who dare to meet without official permission risk arrest. Over 1,000 believers are in jail without charge. Yemen is number 3 on the list. The humanitarian crisis continues. Anyone suspected of being a Christian will be deliberately overlooked for aid and might be expelled or killed by their own tribe. Number 2 is Somalia. Islamic militants are intensifying their hunt for Christians, and violent attacks are increasing. And at number 1, North Korea, the most dangerous place in the world to be a Christian. Spies are everywhere. Discovery means death, either by execution or by being worked to death in a labour camp. Despite the danger, in all these countries, the church is not defeated. It is living, powerful, defiant. And for over 65 years, Open Doors has stood with this church. Where Christians risk persecution, our underground network support millions of believers with emergency food and aid, spiritual care, smuggled Bibles and Christian books, training and legal advice. And where Christians enjoy freedom, we work with local churches to raise prayer and support and to speak truth to those in power. Every day around the world, Christians risk everything to follow Christ. Will you dare to stand with them?
Again, I want to say thank you to you at Holland Road Baptist Church for being willing to stand with your brothers and sisters. I know for years now you've been praying and supporting, and your generosity has not gone unnoticed. And thank you so much for all that you're doing. I love your heart, by the way, for mission and for mission around the world, not just here in Brighton, but also around the world. And I just want to encourage you. And do pray and seek God to see what he would want you to give to that offering next week to support the many people that you are standing with and supporting around the world. That verse, that passage that was read to us from Colossians chapter 4, this is Paul's letter to the church in Colossae. And there's only 4 chapters in this book. And so this is near the end of Paul's letter. And I don't know about you, but when I'm married to a lady called Michelle, who she came here last time I came, actually, with my 3 girls. And whenever she goes away, she often leaves me some instructions. And I know that I have to pay particular attention to the last few instructions. Because if I get those wrong, I'll know I'll be in big trouble when she gets home. So it's normally something like, don't forget to water the flowers, or don't forget to feed the kids, or whatever it is. And I know I have to pay attention. And this is Paul's final instructions to the church in Colossae. And he says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Paul knew that we were created to be devoted to something or someone. That's how God has made us, created us, shaped us, wired us. And if we're not devoted to Jesus in that place of prayer, then we'll be devoted to something else. Our passions, our hearts will be taken and drawn away by something else. And Paul was encouraging the church into Colossae, in Colossae, to devote, to make sure their passion is for Jesus. Their passion is for prayer. So he says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. I think it's interesting that Paul uses those two words, watchful and thankful. I'm not sure if I was, you know, talking to people about prayer that I would say, hey, you know, pray and be watchful and thankful. I think I might say, you know, when you pray, just remember that God is listening, that he's there, that you can go to him, you know. But Paul is saying, he's asking them to devote themselves to prayer being watchful and thankful. What does that word watchful mean? I believe Paul was encouraging the church to be thinking about what is this, what do you see God doing? Maybe not just with our natural eyes, but what is God doing in our town, in our city, in our nation, in our families, in our streets, in our neighborhoods, around the world? To be aware of the season we're in and what God is doing. And also just to, you know, so often we close our eyes, don't we, when we pray. There are some times when actually I love going on walks and just looking. Sometimes I walk around sometimes walk up and down my street where I know some of the neighbors who might be going through a difficult time, and I look at their house and just pray for them and pray that God would meet them at their point of need and that God would give me an opportunity. But then he says, be thankful. That's an interesting one, isn't it? We're called to be thankful. And I remember Hey Woo coming to England. In fact, she's here right now at the moment in Scotland today. And she experienced being in 10 different labor camps in North Korea. And last time she came, one of the things we said to her, do you sense God saying anything to our nation? And she just stopped and she said, cultivate a spirit of thankfulness. Cultivate a spirit of thankfulness. And I don't know about you, but I can get pretty grumpy at times. I hit 50 this year and, you know, I could easily be at that stage where I'm becoming a grumpy old man. You know, you see the t-shirts, don't you? Grumpy men. You know, I don't want to be that. I don't want to be that. And I choose each day to try and remember. I'm not good at it all the time. You ask my wife, she'll tell you. But when I can, I try to remind myself, what can I be thankful for today? God, thank you for this house. Thank you for my family. Thank you for this food. Thank you for the clothes I'm able to wear. Let's be those people who come to God in thankfulness. And then Paul goes on to write this in the letter, which I think is fascinating. He says, and pray for us too. Now, if I was Paul in prison and I was writing to the church and asking the church to pray for me, I could imagine the church, the prison that he was in was probably not a very nice place to be. I would imagine he's probably chained to a wall. He probably doesn't have a nice comfy seat to sit on. He may even be on just the stone floor. I doubt the food is good when he gets it. There's probably rats running around. There's probably no toilet, so the cell probably stinks. It's probably not a nice place to be. And I think if I was writing a letter to the church, if I was writing a letter to you at Holland Road Baptist from that kind of prison, I think I would say, hey guys, please pray for me. It's terrible in here. Pray that God will get me out. Isn't that what your prayer, well, that would be my prayer. But what does Paul write? Paul doesn't complain once. Paul says this. He says, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I'm in chains. Friends, that's incredible, isn't it? Paul recognized that he was there in prison for a purpose. He was there for a reason, even though it's probably the last place in the world he wants it to be. Friends, I don't know what's going on in your life, and maybe you find yourself in a place where you think, this is really not where I want to be. But maybe God's got you there for a purpose, for a reason. And just like Paul, let's be those who are willing to pray and say, pray that God may open a door for our message, that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I'm in chains. You know, I believe as a nation, we're in an interesting point. And actually, lots of the signs are there to see that actually there is an openness to the gospel right now that we've not seen for a long time. Some of the stats would say that 1 in 3 people right now believe that Jesus was real and that he is relevant to today. That's 1 in 3 people. They may not agree with the church and all the rest of it, but they believe in a Jesus. And friends, I want to encourage us. This is our moment. There is an opportunity right now, since all that we've been through as a nation, all that we continue to go through, where people are looking for hope. They're looking for a purpose. They're looking for a reason to live. And we carry that, don't we? Let's be those who, like Paul, who are saying, help me be ready to share the message. I remember meeting, on the slide, there's a guy from Iraq. And I took a group of church leaders out to Iraq. And when we got there, we were welcomed by a man who had a tattoo on his wrist. I don't know if we're able to see. Yeah, it's of the cross. And lots in the Middle East, lots of Christians do that as a sign that they are following Jesus. And then when we went in his car, in the rear view mirror, there was a cross dangling down from his rear view mirror. And then when we got to his house, well, it wasn't a house actually, because he was internally displaced. This was soon after ISIS had driven them out of Mosul, and he had had to leave everything, and he was living in like this porter cabin. And in this porter cabin, as we drove up to it, you could see out of fairy lights a cross. And one of the church leaders noticed all this and noticed how willing he was to show the cross. And he said this to him. He said, this must be one of the most dangerous places in the world to do that. Do you feel any apprehension? And he said, no, I don't. And then the church leader asked him, what motivates you to do this? And he looked at him and he said, Jesus has never apologized for me. And so why should I apologize for him? Friends, our brothers and sisters in Iraq who had lost their homes, lost everything, they didn't consider themselves heroes or anything special. They were just simply following Jesus. I want to finish by sharing a story of a man who I met in Jordan a couple of years ago. Jordan is a country where they've taken in lots of refugees, lots of people who've had to flee different countries because of their belief in Jesus. But also even there, they're facing, especially if you convert from Islam to become a Christian, then it's really, really difficult. But this man who we met, he used to be a member of ISIS. And he was one of the ones who was involved in going into Iraq and killing Christians, burning down churches. He said, I hated Christians. That was his words to us. And he said one day when he came back to Jordan, he was walking down the road and he saw a bookshop. And on the window of the bookshop, there was the words, God is love. And he said, it made me really angry. He said, how could God be a God of love? Because if you love, then that makes you vulnerable. And how can God be vulnerable? Because God is almighty, all powerful. That's what Muslims believe, many of them, that God is almighty, all powerful, and so how can he be a God of love? And it made him really angry. So what he used to do, he used to walk down the road, see the sign in the bookshop, and shoot the window, so it all smashed all over the floor. And every day he would come back, or most days he would come back, and discover that the window had been replaced, and so had that sign, God is love. This happened about 5 or 6 times. And then one day he said, I was so mad. He said, I walked into that shop and I was so angry, I put a gun to the head of the shopkeeper and said, what are you doing? God is not a God of love. And the shopkeeper said to explain to him his own personal experience of discovering God for himself and discovering that God loves him, discovering that God can forgive him of his sin. He basically preached the gospel to him with a gun to his head. And this man, he said, I just knew that what he was saying was the truth. And he said, I just broke down in tears. And in that shop, I surrendered my life to Jesus. He was telling us that he was so moved by this man and by him telling him the gospel and leading him to Jesus that he paid for all the shop windows that he had destroyed. But then he said, I had to go back to my family and tell them what happened. And he said now he's kind of wanted by lots of people because he's now been leading other people to Jesus. But he said his wife and his children have no longer had anything to do with him, and he's not seen his children for the last 3 years. And you could see the pain on his face. But he was saying, you know what? I'm not going to give up following Jesus. Because Jesus has given everything for me, and I'm willing to give everything for him. Friends, let's be those people who recognize all that God has done for us, and that we are willing to, no matter the cost, like our brothers and sisters show us around the world, let's follow Jesus no matter what. We're going to pray together, and I'm going to invite my friend Ben Pearson to come and lead us in a song. Ben's from my church back at home in Birmingham. He's our worship director, and God's just really blessed him with some incredible songwriting gifts, and he's been writing songs that really, I think, really show some of the heart of God and help us connect with God in not that place of victory, but that place of actually being in the middle of trials, and it just fits really well with the message of our persecuted family. So I'm going to ask him to lead us in that song. I'm just going to pray and then ask Ben to do that. Father God, we thank you so much that you love us, that you gave everything for us. Lord Jesus, as we think about our brothers and sisters around the world who are willing to follow you no matter what, Lord, help us to be those too who are willing, who see the opportunities and are willing to go for them. Lord, help us to make the most of every opportunity that you give to us. Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters here at Honorary Baptist Church and pray that they would know a fresh confidence in the gospel. And we ask you, Lord Jesus, to bless our brothers and sisters around the world today who share our faith but not our freedom. Would you strengthen them today? Jesus, I pray that they would know that they're not alone. That God, you are with them. And that they have family around the world, even here at Holland Road Baptist Church, who are standing with them. We ask all these things in your precious name, Jesus. Amen.